Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's continue our discussion of college basketball in the Sweet 16. You can hear it all right here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to talk to Myron Metcalf, who covers college basketball and college football for ESPN and can be heard on Saturdays on ESPN Radio. Follow him on Twitter, Medcalf, M-E-D-C-A-L-F, by ESPN. Myron, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Thank you very much for the time today to talk college basketball and Sweet 16 with us. And so just to give you the background where we come from, so we're in Kansas City, but I'm a Mizzou fan. My co-host, Nate, is a Kansas grad, and then we have a bunch of obviously K-State fans also that listen to the show, and so it's been interesting to read some of the comments and reaction to your Sweet 16 reseeding, both from K-State and Kansas fans, and a chance to read some of the comments on Twitter that you've received. And so let's start. And hey, look, I love anything like this that gives a strong opinion and starts conversation, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. So let's talk about the how you went about, what was give us some background and what you put into reseeding the Sweet 16.
Well, first off, I don't know if the comments have been interesting. I mean, they're on my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, I'm used to Kansas fans coming at me on Twitter, but like, I got a photo of me hiking in Arizona, and I got Kansas fans leaving comments. Like I'm like, can you leave my Arizona hiking photos alone? Like, come on, y'all. It ain't personal.
Oh,
and
no.
The funny thing to me is I become the greatest villain over, you know, a weekend. And people say things like, he's always been a KU hater. He's like, come on, man. If you look at my full body of work, I'm not a KU hater. I've never been somebody like that. But I guess people think that. So here's my philosophy, right? Number one, if you're alive, you're a pretty good team. Kansas wasn't 10. They were 10 out of 68. So I think people need to acknowledge that. It's like, I don't ever see this as a negative thing. I mean, Kansas State, last on the list, you're last of the Sweet 16 teams. You know, so I don't know why people go into it like with a negative approach. I put a lot of emphasis, as I do every year, on what I see in the NCAA tournament. People say, you don't watch the games. I watched every single NCAA tournament game in the first and second rounds in the first four. Every single one. I had five TVs up in Bristol, watched every game. So for me, I was looking at strongest performances, and I thought the list for me was more about what happened with the teams above them and less about Kansas. I mean, obviously, Villanova, Duke, people know them. Clemson at one point had 70 to Auburn's 30. Like, I think that's a team when they play, you know, the defense they're capable of playing. It's a pretty good team. Texas A&M, it was never about talent. Like, I know they lost to KU. I understand their record. But for me, this is the Texas A&M team that everybody feared, but no one ever thought would come together. West Virginia, I know they lost to Kansas three times. In a single elimination format, the way that Javon Carter's playing and the defense they're playing, to me, they're one of the most dangerous teams in the field. But about KU specifically, one of the challenges I had was who they are with Azubuike and who they are without him, and who they've been in this tournament with him and without him. I don't know if Azubuike is at 70%. Is he 70%? I don't know. He's definitely not 100. When he's on the court, it's night and day with this team. Now, he's also had foul trouble in the last couple of games. I think they are a bridge that's standing on one pillar that has some cracks in it and could fall at any moment, whether that's foul trouble or whether that's him maybe not being 100% physically. I think Devontae Graham is a great, great player. I also know he's 10 for 31 in his last two games, and that if your star plays like that and shoots like that going forward, you're going to lose. So for me, this wasn't Kansas is the 10th team in the field and they're going to lose. This was looking at everything that's transpired. That's why I had them. But it was more about the teams above them than anything else. But the people that act like Kansas is infallible, check out the numbers with Azubuike on the floor versus when he's not on the floor. And that, to me, should scare people because if he's in trouble, foul trouble again, I think they're going to go.
And again, for people that have not read the article or seen the rankings, real quickly, it's Villanova, Duke, Clemson, West Virginia, Kentucky, Nevada, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Purdue, Kansas at 10, and then Syracuse, Gonzaga, Florida State, Loyola, Chicago, Michigan, and number 16, Kansas State.
Gonzaga fans didn't leave stuff on my hiking photos, by the way. I mean, they were mad, but they didn't go that far.
Can I ask, let me just ask this question then, Myron. Why do you hate Kansas?
You know what? Here's the funny thing. I do a tour of teams in the offseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Kansas as one of the schools. I stopped at. I've always had a good relationship with Bill Self. You know, I've written a lot of positive stories about the program, know a lot of guys on the staff. But it is amazing to me how teams that are alive in the Sweet 16, the emotions attached to it. And let's be honest, what it is with Kansas fans. Do they hate me in my article right now? Sure. But what's their real fear? They know that this could be the year. And they've felt this feeling before. And there's got to be some fear of what if it doesn't happen? Like, what is Bill Self's tenure with all these conference championships if he gets another opportunity and they fall short of a Final Four? Now, that's not me just knocking Kansas. When I talked to Bill Self this summer, went out there, he said, look, man, it feels like we got to get one. That's what he told me. Feels like we got to get one. You know, like losing an NCAA tournament, the conference titles are cool, but he wants a championship. And I think, I'm sure there's a lot of emotion with KU fans who understand that this might be the best opportunity in a long time to get to the Final Four and to win it all. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions that come with that.
See, I'm a Kansas guy, but I guess I look at things differently than many. First of all, I love reading stuff like this. It's an opinion piece. But at the end of the day, I don't see why, if you're a Kansas fan, you get mad about it, because the proof's going to be in the pudding. Like, whether you pick them or not, like, who cares? At the end of the day, like, I'm interested in what you have to say, but I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter what you think, right? Because at the end of the day, we're going to find out. You know, they're either going to go and they're going to win a couple games this weekend, or they're not. You know, and that's all that really matters. And and the other thing about it is, I understand the pressure on Bill Self. And look, here when you live in Kansas City, you're either a Kansas fan or you hate Kansas. So if you're a Kansas fan, what you hear from the people that hate Kansas all the time is, well, you guys underperform compared to what you claim to be a blue blood, and you don't have as many national titles as some of the other blue bloods. You don't make it to the Final Four as often. You only quote-unquote, made it to the Final Four twice under Bill Self. And so I get that pressure. But when I look at this year's team, I see a team that is very flawed. I see a team that overachieved by getting themselves that number one seed, whereas, like, last year, I think it was a failure last year. Like, they had the consensus player of the year. They had a lottery pick, you know, one-and-done freshman. They had a little bit of depth. They had a team, and then they had a path in Kansas City to get there. Whereas I look at it this year, and I think it'll be an upset if they beat Duke. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see, and I'm not saying they can't do it, because sometimes, like, look, the 88 team that won the national title was far from one of the best KU teams ever. But they got on a run and they won it. So I'm not saying this team can't do it. But I guess what I'm saying is, I don't understand why this would be the time for KU fans to be mad about being disrespected, because I don't know. I don't think it's that controversial. Maybe I wouldn't have them 10th like you did, but I don't think it's that controversial to say this isn't one of the vintage Bill Self teams.
Yeah, I mean, what you said in the beginning is real. It doesn't matter what you think. Like, for me, everything is fair game. Like, I'm talking about the people leaving comments, but that's part of the deal. I understand being mad and upset. Cool. I mean, this is why we love sports, and this is why it's so intense, and I agree with you. We saw things with Kansas that we haven't seen. We've never seen Kansas lose games like this at home, at Allen Fieldhouse, right?
Yeah.
We've never seen, I think, a situation where, have they had short rotations? Have they had, you know, limited big men? Sure. There's hope. Rests on a guy who I don't know if he's at 70%. Like, I felt like Azubuike's fouls was about his mobility more than anything. And he is such an impactful player for them. I also think we need to talk about Devontae Graham, who I love. I think that kid plays with a heart that, like, if everybody had that in college basketball, they'd be better for it. He's the underdog forever. Yeah, he'll have a chip on his shoulder. But Devontae Graham can't go 1-for-7. And we can't just assume that, okay, they got by Seton Hall, this will work against every other team. Like, we've got to talk about Devontae Graham and the struggles he's had really in, like, 5 of the last 6 games from the field. Has not been shooting well. And that's your best player, and that's your player that has to get going. So, to me, it's not that Kansas isn't a good team. They're a really good team. I feel like they're now, many people view them as Virginia, a team that has all of the right pieces and parts, looks great on paper, but you begin to wonder, okay, are they going to overachieve and do what they haven't done in past years? That's not why I had them at 10th, but I think that is sort of the vibe around Kansas, and I think a lot of people who maybe doubt them right now. But like you said, we get to play the games, and I'm not an official, and I don't shoot. I haven't taken one field goal attempt in my entire career, so, you know, I'm not going to have an impact on the game.
To play devil's advocate, I can hear a Kansas fan saying, but if KU can go have a terrible day from Devontae Graham and survive a game in which Azubuike gets in foul trouble and isn't healthy against a guy as good as Delgado and a team as good as Seton Hall, doesn't that state the case that they actually are better equipped to overcome a bad performance by one or more of their most important players? And doesn't that state the case that they actually are a stronger team in the tournament?
If I could ring a bell for you, I would, because I think you're 100% right. That is the counter to what I just said. Guess what, everybody? I might be wrong, right? And I'm okay with that. So I'm just telling you my philosophy going into it. You could look at it the way you said. Look, they overcame a team like Seton Hall despite everything going in. When Azubuike had 4 fouls at Oklahoma State, though, in their last loss, they lost that game, right? I just think this is a team that is very strong at their best. I just don't think they're at their best health-wise, and I think Devontae Graham and Azubuike, that combination, that is something that people should be paying attention to. So, like on hooplens.com, where you can look at how players impact teams when they're on the floor, opponents grab 10% of their offensive rebounds in the NCAA tournament when Azubuike was on the floor. 10%. Maybe the lowest total I've seen ever, right? When he wasn't on the floor, they grabbed 32% of their missed shots.
Wow.
Like, they were literally one of the best defensive teams in the field with him on the floor, and a pretty average team without him on the floor. Like, that's something with Azubuike, with a guy who isn't 100% healthy, that I think they have been able to navigate around. I think in the NCAA tournament, when depth becomes even more important, that's something you can't ignore. Purdue fans were mad because I knocked them down with Isaac Hodgins in an injury. They gave up 60% of their shots inside the arc against Butler. They hadn't done that with Isaac Hodgins on the floor. It's not a knock against Purdue or Kansas. It's me saying, I think in the state you're in right now, there are teams that might be more equipped in this single elimination setting to win a couple of games, and we'll see what happens. And could I be wrong? Of course. You know how many times I've been wrong? A ton of times I've been wrong. But I'm okay with it because that's part of the game.
Myron Metcalf from ESPN is our guest. All right, tonight it's Kansas State and Kentucky, and Kentucky's look really good. They look good in the SEC tournament, a much different team than they were earlier in the season. Kansas State, they've been playing good defense, but Dean Wade, their best player, has been unavailable because of a foot injury. They're thinking maybe they could try to get 20 minutes out of him, but we don't know how good those 20 minutes are going to be. And so how do you see this game playing out tonight?
Well, I'm down here in Atlanta for those games tonight. And Bruce Weber's mad at me, too, apparently, because he was asked about the reseeding.
Right.
So the whole state of Kansas is maybe Wichita State. I don't know if I made them upset yet. But to me, if I'm Dean Wade, I would look at what happened with Bonzi Colson. And as much as I know he wants to play for this team and they're saying all the right things, it's dangerous. You know, I think it's dangerous. And I'll be interested to see if he can actually give them quality minutes within the flow of the game. Because the challenge with this to me is this. You don't play Dean Wade in the first half, for me, if you're Bruce Weber. You see how close it is. And if the game is close and you have a chance, I think certainly, you know, you put him out there and maybe if he can help that team. If Kentucky's up by 15 or something like that early, you don't waste Dean Wade. You don't put him in that situation. I think Kentucky right now is a team that, with their athleticism and length, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to me, is the player that nobody's talking about but might be a top 10 pick. It's going to be a hard matchup for Kansas State, but Kansas State has some strong, aggressive defensive dudes, Barry Brown, on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. If he locks them up, they have a chance. You know, this is still a young Kentucky team that is going into this knowing that they've got the easiest region that we've ever seen historically without a top four seed. And I think there's a pressure that comes with that that Kansas State doesn't feel.
All right, Kansas State fans, don't be like these KU fans. Leave this
man. I'm hiking photos, man. I mean, you can do anything else. Just let me go hiking in Arizona, man. Leave me alone.
Where'd you go hiking in Arizona, by the way?
I was in Tucson. I don't remember the name of the path, but Tucson has a bunch of hiking trails, man. I'm like, that's one of my favorite photos, man. Y'all leave me alone.
I was down in Tucson a couple weeks ago. I went hiking up in Sabino Canyon. It's gorgeous down there.
Yeah, right? It is beautiful, right?
Yep.
Beautiful down there.
It is.
I love it.
All right, so let's see if you can make some Kansas City fans happy, because the backcourt for Loyola Chicago features two kids from the KC area, Blue Valley Northwest High School, and Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson. They take on Nevada, and you talk about this, I mean, this region, the South region being wide open. I mean, why not Loyola Chicago? They've been the darling so far of the tournament. What do you think of this game that you will also see in Atlanta?
Well, I was on Loyola when they went down to Florida and beat them on the road in a true road game, right? Like, and I said this in my first piece about the 68 teams. If we take away names and we just say, here's the team's resume, this is a team that makes 40% of its three-pointers, like 57% of its shots inside the arc. They play top 30 defense. I think most people look at that team and you go, man, they got a chance to beat anybody, right? When you say Loyola Chicago, people go, well, you know, maybe they're Cinderella. I think if you're Nevada, the pressure's on you, because they beat a Tennessee team that I think is better than Nevada. They beat a Miami team that certainly has more NBA-level talent. They beat a Florida team that can shoot the lights out. So I think Loyola Chicago and Clayton Custer and that whole crew, they definitely have a chance to continue this thing. I just want to be in the movie, man. Like, if they make this like a Mighty Ducks kind of thing, I just want to roll, you know, somehow. So I am kind of rooting for them. I will say Nevada committed two turnovers against Cincinnati, which is the number two team defensively in the entire field, in the entire country. So that 22-point comeback was no fluke. That was a great offensive team that got it going at the right time. So to me, that is the game of the night, actually.
If they make the movie, you could be the cynical pundit that never believed they had a chance.
Yes, I will be that. See? I'll be the one asking the questions like, come on, you guys know that this is a fluke. You're not going to keep winning. Like, I'll be that guy. If I get a role, I'll be in it. I'll do it.
All right, what about the other games tonight? What do you think of you mentioned A&M. This is maybe the A&M team that we expected at the beginning of the season. A lot of people picked Michigan in their brackets, A&M and Michigan, and then Florida State and Gonzaga. What about the West region?
You know, I was at the A&M-Kansas game in Lawrence. I've never heard a timeout as quiet as Texas A&M's was. There was just no energy. Like, that team, I was like, they're going to lose in the first round. But, like, how they're playing now, and they've gotten rid of some of the guys who maybe weren't the best in the locker room, they just feel like they're ready to go get it. A lot of people are picking Michigan, and I think Michigan's a good team. Didn't play its best in the first couple rounds. I just think Robert Williams is one of those dudes who's like the X factor, who if they continue to play over the top to him and he does what he can do defensively against Mo Wagner, I think that's a team that can definitely beat Michigan. But I think that'll be a good game. You know, Florida State Gonzaga, hey, nobody was mad about Florida State. They knocked off a number one. I didn't receive them top five, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that team coming back with their length and athleticism, that's going to be a serious test, because I think this Gonzaga team is deeper than last year's team. I don't know if they're more athletic. And Florida State has a bunch of really good athletes, and they have the confidence of beating the number one seed. So those are both dangerous games. But I just hope we get four good games and four more good games tomorrow. If that's the case, man, I'll be happy.
Who's going to be in the Final Four?
Have you read my bold predictions? I don't know. I don't know if you have checked my track record. But I'd like to think that out of this region, the South, I think everybody would be shocked, like absolutely shocked if Kentucky didn't make it. That's not a knock against Kansas State, but I think most people expect Kentucky to make it out of this region. I think Gonzaga, just the way they shoot the ball, going to beat Florida State and advance and beat the Michigan A&M winner. Nova, to me, is the best team in the field right now. And then I think Duke beats Kansas in a good game, especially if Bagley can get going. Watch for Azubuike and the fouls he commits against Bagley and Wendell Carter and how they officiate. I think they're having a hard time officiating Azubuike. He's so big and strong, and I think there's going to be a lot of sensitivity in this game in terms of how they officiate him. He can get into early foul trouble against Duke, and they can be in a lot of trouble, but I think Duke Nova, Kentucky, Gonzaga right now.
So Big 12 fans have been sensitive for quite some time that every year during the season they're ranked as like the number one RPI conference, and then they go into the tournament and they typically lay an egg. So right now, Big 12 fans are strutting around, puffing their chests out that four of their 10 teams are in the Sweet 16. But do they need to have success this weekend? Like, do they need to get a team or two into the Final Four to really validate how good the league was this year in your mind?
Yes. 100%. Because nobody cares at this point. I mean, how many people care about Virginia's season right now, their regular season? Anybody?
Nope.
No, everybody cares about the upset with UMBC, right? So getting four teams in, to me, is more pressure. Because now if you go into next weekend without a Final Four team, that's not going to be good for the league. It won't take away from the strength of the league for guys who know, but we have to understand there are so many casual fans who come to this sport and they judge you according to what you did in the tournament and that alone. So Bill Self told me that too. We got to get one. I mean, he was talking about the league. Like, it'd be nice to get one. And I think people are anxious and they're in a position where they feel like maybe this is the year. But if you go 0-4 in the Final Four, that's not going to be a good look for a really good league. I know they're a good league. You know they're a good league. But people will see 0-4 if they don't get to the Final Four.
Our final question, not having to do with the NCAA tournament, but we stick with college basketball. Penny Hardaway will be a success at Memphis, true or false?
I will say false, if I had to pick right now. I think that is a bigger adjustment than people realize in terms of going from high school to Division I basketball. You can get talent. Ben Simmons didn't make the NCAA tournament. Markel Fultz didn't either, so he's got a big-time job on his hands.
It's going to be fun to watch, though. Myron,
but
thank you.
I do want to see Little Penny come back.
Yes.
He has to.
Yes.
That's all I care about, really.
Can you imagine Little Penny out on the recruiting trail?
Mm-hmm. I would. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, but that's...
I heard Chris Rock got like $5 million for that. Somebody just told me that.
Worth it.
For doing Little Penny back in the day.
Worth it.
I feel like it's not enough now based on how much we still talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, Myron, we appreciate the time, man. And next time you go hiking, hopefully you can enjoy yourself.
Yeah, just leave the hiking photos alone. Everything else is game. But, man, come on, guys.
I'm going to be honest. I got on your Instagram page, and I looked at some of the posts. This is ruthless. Like, they're not, like, just saying, hey, man, you know. I mean, people are messed up.
My mom was reading this Kansas stuff, fans, man. Come on, y'all. Just leave my stuff alone.
People are messed up.
Damn Kansas fans, Myron. Trust me.
I apologize on behalf of KU fans.
Hey, I still love them, though, and I'll be here this whole stretch, you know. So,
all right, enjoy those games down in Atlanta, man.
All right, thanks.
It's Myron Maycat from ESPN. So. There's one guy that's tweeting the hell out of him. I don't know if you...
Oh, boy.
See that guy who likes to tweet at us? Boy, there's some people that just seem to have a lot of time on their hands.
Yep.
Tweeting at people that they don't agree with. So weird.
It's I just don't get... Like, they're going to play. You know?
Are they?
So if KU goes out and loses tomorrow night against Clemson, are all those people that are arguing with him and mad at him going to, like, tweet him an apology? Oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you were right. You know what I mean? Like, and on the flip side, if KU goes and wins, is it going to make you feel better as a KU fan to prove Myron Maycat wrong?
That'd make Jake feel better.
Wouldn't it just make you feel good that your team won?
No. I just, like people who are wrong about that, rub their nose in it. If you're going to be wrong.
I got some friends that are like that. Like, they take more satisfaction in their team winning because they can mock somebody, like, they can mock somebody for being wrong, you know, than actually, like, hey, why don't you celebrate your accomplishment? Just be happy that you won, you know, like, hey, we won. Yay. No. Hey, in your face.
Boy, this guy's crazy.
Well, yeah, you know.
But I think we already knew that.
Yeah, we already knew that.
All right, we'll take a break back after this on WHB.